Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
What's up, you mutts? It's another episode of Mail Time here. I'm coming to you live from Bradley Beach in the Jersey Shore. I got my floppy, like, TikTok hair going on right here, fresh off the beach. Rented a house down the shore for the week with the kids and the family, so doing the whole dad thing. First vacation I've taken in, like, 5 years. I take it, like, a Thursday, Friday here and there, you know, long weekends and whatnot. But I have not taken off a week of work since my honeymoon, which was in 14, so almost 6 years ago. It's not really a vacation, though.
No. So, we'll talk about like doing all the same things from a different spot, but...
We'll talk all about that, but I, you know, it's going to be a long week, and I'm, like, pulling my hair out of my head, so I got to make sure I take my Roman to make sure my hair still grows and I make sure that the hair on my head stays in place. They've got basically the generics for all of the hair restoration and hair growth pills. They've got the generic for the erectile dysfunction. And then once you get your hair in order and once you get your dick up, you can use the Roman swipes to keep that baby cooking when you are in the heat of battle, when you're in the heat of action. So Roman swipes are, I believe, to be – I mean, I did the top five inventions on KFC Radio like last week or whatever. Probably right up there, you know, sixth would be these swipes, which I don't think people have caught on just yet how much they revolutionized the world. Like when they figured out medicine for ED, it was like this is the biggest thing ever, right? Because now you can have sex when you're 100 years old. But right behind that is this where it's like – now you can have sex for 100 years. You can just keep going and going like the goddamn Energizer Bunny.
They fixed it for the olds. Like they made sure that the old guys who like thought this was over. And now they're like, now we're going to improve it for the young. Relatively young.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, sure, you can physically do it. It doesn't mean it's good. It doesn't mean it's going to last long. Who cares if you can get it up and do it if it only lasts like 60 seconds, you know? I mean, let's be honest. The term Minuteman is, you know, it's like a joke, but it's not. I mean, there are times when you're excited, it could last 2-3 strokes. It could be like the 5-second man, okay? And so you pop these swipes on and you rub it on. It comes in a little package. Then you unroll it. It's probably like a little rectangular napkin. It actually looks like the quilted hoodies. It's got the quilted material in it. So quilted everywhere for your boy. And then the thing is, when you consistently use them, it kind of like trains you to last longer. Your body eventually is like, oh, this is something that lasts like 17 minutes instead of like 7. So use these Roman swipes. You can get them for just $5 when you sign up for the hair or the ED or the skincare or any of the other products that Roman offers. Go to GetRoman.com/mailtime. And when you sign up for a monthly plan, you can get the swipes for just $5. That's GetRoman.com/mailtime. Down here at the beach and rented a house. Feeling accomplished right now. Feeling I did something right, you know, for a change. Like every crew and every relationship, there's the planner and then the person who just like does, you know, like my thing was always whether it was with friends or with a girl, you plan, I'll give you money, you know, I'll pay more than my share. I'll pay for all the groceries. I'll pay for the extras. I'll pay for all of it. But you just got to do the work. And now when, you know, it wasn't a big friends group thing. It was just for family. And I took it upon myself to do this. It was me. And I was just like, I don't know how to do it. much like when you don't know how to, like, if you're not handy with fixing things, it's like, I just got to call someone to do it. this is like, if you're not a planner, if you don't know, like, here's how I'm going to negotiate, here's how I'm going to find the house, here's how I'm going to rent the house, it's like, you know, it might as well be in like a different language. I was just lost.
Yeah, because you just like, you have too many options. It's like, we could literally stay anywhere.
That's what saved me, is that right now, I don't know whether it was because I went last minute. I don't know if it's because people are not offering their homes up to strangers or whatever, but Airbnb for like a little, like a couple of my, you know, I need this many people in this area. And there was only like a couple options, and some were like crazy expensive. Some were too far away. And I found this one here in Bradley Beach. Shout out. If you got any recommendations for food or whatever, I'll be here all week. I need to know. And it worked. And like, so far, so good. And I feel accomplished. I'm so hard on myself. I'm always like, I never think I'm a good enough dad. I know I wasn't a good enough husband. I never know how to do these things. Anytime I did do something, I would fuck it up. And I'm like, I did it. We have multiple bedrooms. Everybody's happy. It's close to the beach. I'm like, holy shit. Mission accomplished.
Well done.
But it is one of those like, going to need a vacation for the vacation after. Thank God. My nanny came with me. She was like, please don't tell me I have the week off. I was like, what? Like, I thought you would enjoy this. She's like, no, I love working. I got to stay busy. I was like, do you want to come with? She's like, yeah, let's do it. So now I got, you know, it's me, my mom, the kids, nanny, their mom's going to become later in the week. And I'm like, I'm just not used to this. You know, I live such a weird it's like a double life, because I'm going to talk about this with Chris DiStefano. Me and him are talking about doing some, like a podcast about single dad life, where it's like half the time you're in dad mode and you're in like extra dad mode because you're solo. It's like, you know, a lot of times guys are just put their feet up on the table and they're watching the game and they're playing with their kids a little bit, but moms and grandmas and nannies are doing the bulk of the work. When you're in my spot, it's like, when I'm on, it's just me for 24 hours a day. And but then when I'm off, it's like I'm solo dolo. I can do what I want when I want. Don't do what I don't want to do. I can go out dating girls. I'm hooking up. I'm drinking. I'm not drinking. I'm sleeping. Literally whatever. And so this is a full week.
Listen, man. Listen. This is a very grass is always greener sort of scenario, because I'm sure that you have your challenges and your problems. But when you're just like, yeah, and then like just like for a few days a week, I just don't really have any responsibilities. I'm like, whoa,
great.
Sounds good.
Then I go into like work mode. I really don't ever find myself doing like what I want to really do per se. But yeah, I mean, that's why I don't know how you guys do it. Like when I talk to people about being a single dad, like I describe what I just said, like it's tough because you're solo and there's nobody to lean on and you got to do it all yourself. But the escape and the release, it sucks that for my terms, it's obviously bad. The divorce was messy, all that shit. But in general, if you do split up, or if you do have a kid with someone you're not married with, and so you're kind of doing the on and like, dad mode and single mode, it's kind of like the best way to do it. It's like the way that the modern like family has shaken out, where it's just like you, and I don't know about you, but I would imagine for a lot of dads, it's like when it's the dad's turn, mom goes shopping, mom takes a nap, she gets her nails done. And, you know, it's your job to kind of be like, I got this. You need a break. Because most of the time moms are going like, you know, 900 miles an hour. And they're the ones really doing all the work. So they kind of need that break. And it's on you. You know, when it's your turn to like to handle the baby crying at night, she stays asleep. When it's your turn to take care of her for the day on Sunday, she's out. She's doing her thing. When it's flipped, you don't get to just sleep. You don't get to be like, okay, mom shift, I'm going to the bar with the boys, or I'm going to go, you know, do whatever I want.
We've said this before, it's golf. The only thing that men get is golf. If you're a golfer, and that's why you have to be a golfer, I'm going to teach my kid, be like, listen, you got to play the sport, or you at least have to fake that you play it. You're going to need it later in life. It's literally a life skill that you need later on. You don't, not the ability to play golf, the just cultivating the concept
buy the clothes, buy the equipment, get those memberships, play the video game on 4Play, go get PGA 2K21, whatever it is, and keep up the appearance that you are a golfer. You could shoot 175. I don't care. But as long as you make it, you know, official that this is something you do, you will get that slack when it comes that time.
And maybe now a podcaster. Podcasts might be creeping in there. So you go, listen, I got to record. And then you're just like, oh yeah, we're doing a Twitch stream. And you know, Twitch, you got to stream a long time. It's like a 4 hour thing. I just got to be in my room playing video games. I think video games and Twitch is the next thing.
It's on site though. Like when you're golfing, you go away and then they're just like, fuck, okay, he's gone. Mm-hmm. And they'll come back whenever. When you're just a door away, or, you know, I can just say, you know, just press pause on the podcast. Whatever. It's like, I don't get any service and, you know, we're playing 18. We might even play 36 today. I'll see you in 7 hours. Yeah.
Golfing and fishing. Fishing seems to get the job done somewhat too.
Yeah, I'm going to tell. I mean, as I've always kind of been thinking of one day writing a book or a all-encompassing blog or doing a full podcast on it of, you know, lessons. I always kind of said lessons to your unborn son, but it's also just lessons to, you know, the up and coming guy. And, you know, the first one has always been make sure you go to a big time college. Although I don't know what's going to happen with college. Right. I don't know how this ends up all shaking out. But if, you know, you go somewhere with sports, you go somewhere with nice weather, where some place that, you know, when once you graduate, you like want to go back and you care about it. That's like number one. Number two, kind of going along with that is like, don't ever bother having relationships when you're younger, like nothing too serious. Not saying just like be eternally single from 18 to 30, because you do have to learn how to be in relationships. So when you fall in love, you know, it is what it is. But the like, when you're just doing it to do it, when you're like, because I was just like a relationship guy, or when you're one of those people who's swinging from branch to branch, from one relationship to the next, and not at a young age, no. And then the third one is when it is time to do the relationship thing and settle down. The golf, the fishing. I would even say, now, if you like golf and fishing, actually doing it, go do your thing. If you're in the game for just the ability to get away, I say you come up with something even – you come up with your own. Like, if you told your girl that you were like, we're going hiking, like me and my friends like to go hiking, we get exercise, we like to be in the wilderness, make it even less like, you know, we're not just going to whack some balls and drink some beers and, you know, flirt with the cart girl. We're not just going to go sit on the boat and, you know, smoke cigars while we fish. If you make it sound even cornier, like, no, we're, you know, I got to get my, you know me, babe. If I don't hike that mountain, like I just got to get it out of my system. I gotta.
But then, do you go do it? Do you go hike? just go somewhere else.
No, you walk up like a fucking hill, and you get to the top, and the cooler is filled with beers or whatever.
You go up. This is what we need. We need like a shout out Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace. But we need it like Wakanda, like where you're like walking up a hill, and then it just opens, and it's like a club. It's like a bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, the term man cave has kind of over the years gotten so corny and like cliche. You know, if you're like, I have a man cave, like, put a bullet in your head, dude. You're a loser, you know. But if you could have a Wakanda.
That term was cool for 1 second. Like a guy came up with it and somebody was like, yeah, it is kind of like a man. No, it sucks. Yeah, never mind.
It was very man show-esque, you know. Like when the man show was like, we got recliners that have fridges in them and you're gonna have your beer in your man cave. It's like, all right, cool. The notion is cool and important.
Right. It's
the phrasing of it and, you know.
What man caves became, like guys would have the floor installed to look like a football field. Like as soon as that's installed, you're like, oh, this is a bad idea. This sounded good, but this is very bad.
Yeah, and if you're like, you gotta see my man cave, dude, you're like, if you have a garage that we can hang out in, like, awesome.
Right.
But I don't want to see in general, I don't want to see any of your stuff. In general, when people are like, yo, you got to like come see the new apartment. What? No, I don't. You know, why do I need to see your apartment? Or like, yo, you know, we put the extension on. You got to come see it. It's like, if it's cool to hang out in, fine. Right. But I don't want to just like come see the work that you've done. And I certainly don't want to see your man cave where you're like, yo, we put the floor looks like a basketball court and we hung up all like the jerseys. It's like, I don't fucking care, man.
Yeah,
it could be a shitty garage that has like the pink cotton candy insulation showing that I get cancer and itch from that your parents will kill you if you ever touch it. That could be exposed everywhere. As long as we can hang out, fine. But I don't need to come see it.
It's like, if I like you, I will come hang out at the exact same frequency that like we always hang out. You know, sometimes life gets in the way, you get busy, you don't hang out enough. Then, you know, eventually things settle down, you reconnect with your best friends. Like those people could live in a shack. Like I can't even think of something that would be so cool that I would go visit people that I don't really like. Like it would have to be absolutely like mind blowing. You can't just be like kind of cool. Like, oh, hey, I have the Street Fighter arcade game here. If I don't like that person, I'm like, that's okay, cool. I mean, that's interesting. I'm not coming over there. That's going to be fun for 5 minutes. And then be like, oh, I don't really like being here.
It needs to be like, you're one of my friends and you hit the lottery and now you're rich and you have like a grotto and a mansion. Then I'll come see it because it's dope. But I don't want to, it's like the male equivalent of coming to see the baby. You know, like the famous Seinfeld episode, see the baby. I don't want to see your baby. Like, I don't want to see the shit that you're making or the extension on the house or the man, whatever, dude.
Right.
But if you, to go back to the notion of like, basically just tricking and deceiving your spouse into being like, we do something that's really good for the mind, body, and soul. And that's what I need to do on the weekends. And I'm like, go ahead, honey. Like, yeah, we walked up a hill and then like did mushrooms or some shit. You know what I mean? Like that was
so you're going on like a meditation retreat or something.
Yeah. Oh. What if you play the mental health card? What if, and honestly, maybe this shouldn't even be you're playing the card. Maybe this should be a real
thing. Do this. You should go on a retreat.
If you're just like, we like me and some friends get away and we talk about, you know, everything and get our feelings out and get, you know, all these thoughts out. It's like, yeah, that probably should be a real thing, but it's not going to be. But, you know, that's what we do, honey. They have to respect that. They can't say no to that.
Yeah. Like, what if it's just like a group therapy session? You're like, oh, my, you know, I do group therapy.
That sounds terrible. Like that you can't really, you know, if I was like, what are you doing on the weekends? I do group therapy with my friends. Oh, rip my own throat, not my wrist, my throat in front of you, splurting out. The beach is a funny one though, man. It's like I know, you know, this is gonna be like classic grumpy KFC, but the beach when you're not like a kid and you're not like, you bring a cooler full of drinks, you got the music playing and you're hanging out, you got pretty girls and you're playing, like, you know, throwing the ball around and you're actually going in the water and stuff. When you're going with little kids or you're going with the family and it's just like, okay, now we're covered in sand and we pack up like 60,000 things. I mean, right now we're probably like 20 houses from the beach, 15 houses from the beach. So we can walk it. And we are a caravan that brings everything we own. We brought everything we own from home to this rental house. And then we bring 90% of that stuff from this house to the beach. And then we get there and, you know, the kids cry in like 45 minutes because they got sand in their eye or something like that.
Yeah.
But when I watch like Keegan and Shay and they're just thrilled to be digging in sand. They like bury my feet and like they want to sit as the wave comes in. They want to sit where the sand just like shoots up your shorts and just like gets all over you. And I'm just like, this has got to be what are some of the things in life that you thought like were fun as a kid and now are just an absolute like, this is not good anymore. Right at the top of that list is sand. And just like, I understand if you want to, like I said, if you go in the water, or you know, if you have a boat or something amazing like that. But the literal act of being on the beach and being in the sand, playing sand and castles and all that shit, I mean.
See, you're lucky, though, because you actually get tan. And I don't understand how we can literally be like the same embryo. And like, I go to the beach and I'm like, the environment is trying to destroy me. Like, literally, I apply sunscreen like every 20 minutes just to, even when I'm not getting burned, it feels like I'm getting burned. Yeah, I'm like hiding under, you know, we have forget like an umbrella. We have like a tent. I just go inside and hide. It gets to 115 degrees.
Do you have the stakes that go into the ground?
And, but they never really stay in. So it's like, you know, a pain in the ass. I'm like, I just want to like, you know, bring like a RV and drive right up onto it and like hang out inside a house on the sand. That's when my body can like actually tolerate this stuff. Right. But I mean, I it's just like an idea. It's just like, you know, but with kids, you know, there's no relaxing at any moment, anytime.
Especially by the beach, it's like, well, I have to worry. Are you going to go drowned? Is like a seagull going to attack you? You know, are you terrified and screaming about the water? Are you bothering some? I mean, Keegan took a scoopful of sand, threw it, and the wind just. I mean, everybody that was downwind was probably just covered in sand.
The hardest part, I think, is when they don't want to be there, but you've packed up and you've taken them all the way there, and then you're like. So now I got to convince you, and because you're kind of like, well, I don't really want to be here either. Should we just turn around to go home? Yeah, you're like, no, we got to get this done.
You're just doing it on spite. Like, no, right. We have to be here. You know, we said we're going to be here till noon. It's only 11:30. We're waiting another half hour. It's like, why? What are you doing this to yourself for? You know?
Right. But then every now and then they'll get, you know, and then when it's time to go, they don't want to leave. Then it's like, wait, let's spend another hour here. So, but yeah, beach, I don't know. Maybe it gets better. Maybe like when the kids are like, you know, 10, 11, where like maybe they can go boogie boarding. I don't know how like parents ever don't worry. Like I can't imagine like just being like, yeah, go out in the ocean at any age. I don't know how mom and dad are okay with us being in the ocean, especially you.
Yeah, I do.
The ocean has been not been kind to you.
You know what it's like? The sun for you is the ocean to me. You know, like this thing is trying to kill me.
And I keep going into it.
I wonder sometimes, is that what you just described, like a generational thing? Like, I don't think of myself as one of those parents that's like overly concerned, but I do think it's just naturally programmed into modern parents, and probably rightfully so. I think we've like learned so much about, you know, I mean, you see these kidnappings and like horrible stories of kids drowning or getting hit by a car or something terrible. That's like, yeah, you know, we used to be like, you know, the old thing is like, we used to tell them just come home when the streetlights come on. Mm-hmm. But first of all, really? I don't think anybody was doing that past like the 1950s. The 80s. I can see the 80s, like the Stranger Things kids. Come on, like when the streetlights come on. I never heard that phrase like growing up, right? It was just like,
no,
you know.
But we would like go bike riding and just like come back when we wanted to. Like, you know, mom must have just been like, if somebody said, where's the kids? Mom would just be like, they're out. Like, they're, I guess they'll be back at some point.
Dinner used to be the thing, but not even like mom would be like, do I need to cook for you or not? You know?
I can't remember if we were talking about it or you said on KFC Radio and I just listened to it, but you were like, human beings are not built to be able to communicate with as many people as they can, and it's screwing things up.
And I'm about like social media and arguing and that's
but just I think people are also not built to just like hear about as much bad news, because you have an instinctual thing that triggers in you and you're like, oh, that's dangerous, okay, I can't let my kid do that anymore. But you're only supposed to know about like the things that happen in your neighborhood. Like if a kid drowns in a neighborhood pool, like that doesn't happen that often. Some places it happens. And then every parent top of mind is, we can't let our kids go to the pool. Well, now everybody hears about every single time it happens.
Right.
So you'll worry about like legitimately everything because you've heard that everything's bad. It would be so nice to just be like,
a bad thing.
I don't know. It's like,
you know, hopefully that means there will be a few less tragedies and like fingers crossed, never you. But in the long run and like in the you know, okay, so you're probably going to save yourself from the 0.00001 chance that there's tragedy in your family, and you spend the other 99.9% of the time either, you know, worrying or punishing yourself by like constantly being around your kids and trying to help them and play with them. And it's like, again, the natural, like I was saying to start this, I think the natural way is to kind of be like, you're on duty, you're off duty, you're in parent mode, and then you get your own adult mode. You can't, I mean, this is why I think like for the longest time when it was very, and still is to a large extent, but I think we're kind of moving away from it. But the longest time of like stay-at-home moms, women are in mom-only mode, and it like kills them on the inside. You know what I mean? Like, it's why, you know, you end up like, you know, eventually you're doing like Xanax and martinis for breakfast because you're just like, I can't do this anymore. Because I don't think, it's another thing I want to try to like talk about with DeStefano or write this eventual book on, but like trying to figure out the difference between like happy and fulfilled or enjoying your life and feeling purpose and all that shit. It's like when I'm with my kids at this beach, when I'm, you know, I hate the sand and everything we just described, but like I have this moment where, you know, I'm watching Keegan swim in the ocean for the first time and watching Shay get a kick out of finding shells, all this corny shit. And I'm like, you know, that makes you feel something, but it's not like, you know, I would, when ordinarily I like my beach experience would have been a cooler and some pretty girls and some music. And like, that's what you would actually enjoy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The difference between, you know, your accomplishment as a parent and the feeling of satisfaction you get with your family versus what you truly enjoy doing is kind of those, when those things get lost into one, I think that's where like, you know, I think that's bad for you. I think it's like you haven't had like any adult time and you aren't, you know, exploring your own, again, especially sometimes with women where it's like, well, I gave up my career and I didn't focus on any like new technology or new waves of interests. And like all I had and all I did was my kids. It's like, well, that's not like living an independent adult life that is eventually going to catch up with you. And like, you're going to be crazy for it, you know?
Yeah. Well, parents have to be so selfless that it's like, can we carve out a little time to be selfish? Like, A little bit, it'll just like help, you know, people will talk about mental health, like, hey, sometimes go to a therapist and just talk about yourself and your problems and vent and whatever. And it's just like, yeah, occasionally I need a little bit of time to do something that, you know, helps recharge. I mean, the problem is finding that thing that actually helps keep you balanced so that you're like, I feel good now. And I can get back to, you know, chasing my kids around and trying to teach them how to read and making sure that they, you know, interact with other kids. It's like all hard work. What is that outlet that will like really help you? Like, cause that's a problem. Like, even if you do go play a round of golf, it's not just like, oh, okay, that fixed everything, you know?
Well, it's like the scene in Old School. I golf every weekend with my buddies. I hate golf. I think two things. One, I know for me, the problem is the, like, and again, I'm a little warped because of my own specific personal instances, but I'm sure other people feel it to an extent. I feel guilt when I'm like trying to enjoy myself. Like those, the times that I am off the clock as a parent. I mean, the last few years for me, and I'd imagine this is specifically towards like divorced people, but also I can imagine with regular parents as well. Like I'm either with the kids or I'm like working. That's why I keep adding podcasts and videos and everything, because I feel like, well, all right, I should be with my kids like 24/7. And if I'm not, let me make sure I'm doing something like productive and constructive that will, you know, hopefully help their future and help us financially and all that. And that I'm, you know, you start to go a little bit crazy too. It's like there, I do think there should be, you know, when you're off the clock or whatever, you should actually enjoy yourself and do like what it is that you want to do to reboot. Oh, this was my other point. I think it's such an important thing in life to like reset the clock in everything. Like every year at Barstool, I would be like fed up I'd be like disgruntled about something. I'd be pissed off about like the way things are going. Never like nothing crazy, but just like annoyed. And I'm reaching my fever pitch. And then like I would get a raise or a quote unquote promotion, or there would be a good like discussion about the future, or we'd get good news from Chernin or Penn. And then it like sets all the way back. It's almost like one of those clocks. Like there has been this many days since, and it just like flip it back, reset. It's almost like your NBA Jam Turbo. You know, you're out of it. And then like once it's refilled, you can go again. And I think, you know, in order like to do that with parenting, you know, it is key, because you'll go nuts. And then, but then the problem, like to tie it into my second point, is like, you know, I feel like, God, I shouldn't be doing this right now. You know, like, how do you keep who you were as a younger person when you become a parent and start to live old people life? Because, you know, can you still be like, all right, I'm gonna take a weekend and go away with the boys. We are gonna get fucked up. We are gonna party. We're gonna be reckless. We're gonna be stupid. Like, is that shit that you should totally leave behind in the past? Or, you know, should you still do that and be able to live like, you know, your independent self? And then do you go home and feel like, you know, all right, I got that out of me for a little bit, and now I'm like, you know, ready to be, you know, I'm going to wash that off of me, and I'll be like the best dad and the best husband that, you know, I can be now that I gave myself, you know, some time to do what I wanted to do. I think when you get married, you're kind of like, or when you get married and have kids, you're kind of like, you know, all right, I'm done with that life. But I don't know if that's realistic, you know?
Right. Well, you know, like we've said, with golf and with fishing and with hobbies, like you and I were the type, not to say that we were like the hardest partiers, but what we liked is to go have drinks at the bar. Like, that was like our release. And now it's, you know, I don't know, different. I mean, to me, you can just go and, you know, have, you know, whiskey with the guys and smoke cigars with the guys. I just more like a sports bar drinking beers. And that is a bit of a younger man's game. So it's like you have to try and figure out where the balance is. You know, like the hobby used to be like, let's go play beer pong, or let's go watch a game and drink till 3 a.m. It's like when that goes away, you need to figure out, are you going to do that two times a year? Or are you going to find something else that you can do once a week? You know, or are you going to find something in the middle that's like a golf trip where you are still like getting a little tipsy, but, you know, you're not really raging? It's tough. I mean, I'm jealous of people who like, you know, love softball, and they're like, I still play softball.
Well, I guess,
and I really like it.
I guess so. You know, as I talk through these things, I realize these probably are specific issues towards guys like us, where it's like a lot of guys do find those hobbies that they like, and they do those even after settling down in life, be it marriage, kids, whatever, move to the suburbs, all that shit. But I think it's something you got to like proactively think about, because I mean, I was the type, and this is where like, I think so many of my problems came from. It was just like, I now kind of like live for this girl, and what does she want to do? Let's make her happy. Let's make like, you know, we have to live this family life now, rather than being like, I still have the things that I like that I want to do. And when, you know, what I like to do is go out to dinners and drink and all that shit. And when that kind of stopped, it's like, well, you know, what now? And then when, you know, the times that I am doing that, it's like, oh, I should be with my kids, I should be, you know, whatever. Whereas that golf release is just like, I'm allowed to do this. I can play this sport. It's not like, you know, you're breaking rules or whatever.
It sounds like other people need to be all right with it, but you yourself need to be all right with it more.
Yeah.
You know, you need to figure out what you're like, this is okay, and I don't feel guilty about it. Mm-hmm. You probably won't ever find something that you're like, I always feel fine about this. Like you will, like, you know, there's times I've been at the gym being like, this is not productive. I'm literally like taking care of my own body, and I'm like, but I could be at work right now, and I could be, you know, getting a little bit more done, and I could be working on an idea for a new podcast or something like that. It's literally making sure I'm healthy, and I feel guilty about it sometimes. Yeah. That's something I think it should just be built into to things. Like, you know, we accepted 8 hours of work basically, and some people work much harder than that, and some people goof off for a little bit, but it's sort of like a block. And it's just like, there should be these blocks where not only, like you said, take time for yourself to enjoy yourself. Those should probably won't be daily blocks, but they should be like either weekly or monthly or whatever. But there should also be like, you should just get enough sleep. Like, people should just be like, I don't sacrifice sleep. And that's what people do. And they should, and you shouldn't sacrifice like some physical activity, even if it's as little as walking. That should be something that's just like, you didn't do anything today. And people are like, yeah, man, I just like fucking, you know, like we make the joke, like how few steps did you do this week? But it's just like, you know, maybe it's just because as we get older, in your 20s, you don't need to worry about that. But as you get older, you're like, ah, oh, wow, I should really actually like take care of my body a little bit. That's a real novel concept. But
it really is. I mean, all of it, everything you're kind of describing is like, I think for the longest time and still just to this day, I live like kind of in the moment rather than being like, you have to go, like, go to the gym and shit now to like stay steady in shape so that you're not like 50 and you can't like walk and play with your kids.
Right.
And like, you have to keep up with your friends. Like, in the moment, I remember being like, I'll catch you guys at the next one. I'll be at the next thing. I can't make it this weekend. Well, I'll be at the next bachelor party for sure. And then all of a sudden you look up and you've done that for like 3 straight years. And like, you know, I see my friends, the golf thing is always, has always been like a separator because I just don't golf, but I'll just hear, you know, stories when I do hang out with them. It's like, they're all on this group chat. They're all, they were all away at this weekend. They all have, you know, have this shit that like, cause they were much better at like keeping up with each other. You know, I'm always the guy like I can always pick up right where I left off.
Right.
And they're happy to have me. And like, it's not like I've like lost my friends, but sometimes I catch a glimpse of like how much more they are still involved and like doing things. And I'm like, oh shit. Like I, you know, I didn't, you know, pretty much from like, I'll look back on my life at like 27 till like now, being like, what the fuck was I doing? You know, like the whole thing was a wreck. Like, didn't know what I was getting into with marriage. Didn't think about how to keep up with my body. Didn't think about how to keep up with my friends. Like, and all of it was just like trying to keep my head above water because I wasn't, you know, doing any, I guess preparation is kind of a strange word for it, but like maintenance or upkeep or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Well, the buzzword is self-care.
Self-care. Okay. But to me, that, I mean, I don't know if this is like the Irish guilt or what, but like that comes across to me
as selfish.
Or just like you are disguising with a fancy buzzword some sort of loophole where you get to do what you want to do, you know?
Well, I don't think anybody's going to like call going to the bar and getting shit faced self-care.
But
in sometimes, not too often, you can't do it too much, but sometimes you need that too.
Well, that's what I mean.
That's self-care.
You know, no one's going to say it's like, go get fucked up. But it's like, you know, you spending time with your friends or you being off the, like, take a vacation from work and you know, get away from the kids for a little, all that shit. It's true. This is where I think there really is, like, I think there's levels to the stigma of, like, self-care, of mental health and stuff, where it's like, the first stigma used to be like, oh my, you have a therapist? Like,
right.
You go to therapy, like, oh my God, you must be crazy. But then like, the second level, I think, is like, I still hear these things and I'm like, this is fucking bullshit. You're you're coming up with some, you know, is like scapegoat almost to be like, I'm going to do this and that, and I can say this and say that because, you know, somebody told me that's important. Some doctor said you have to, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and maybe that's where, you know, the stigma, maybe I'm wrong and these things really are true. And that's another stigma I have to get past. But I hear this and I'm like, no, like you have to work hard. And then when you're done with work, it's time for your kids. And that's where, like, when I have like that free time as a single dad, it's like, no, this should not be, this is not how it's supposed to be. Everyone else I know is, you know, suffering 24 hours a day, and I should be too. You know, I have survivor's guilt as a single dad, you know, but it's like, this is not, you know, how I should be. So, I don't know, all kind of interesting shit as I just like spew out all my, this is my therapy session. This is my mental health issues. You guys, the Mail Time listeners, have pretty much been my therapist, my group, my crowdsourced therapist for the last few years. But I hope that I can one day have all the answers. I actually, for the first time in a while, first time ever, I unfortunately have like a friend of mine in the friend group who's like going through a similar type of divorce I did. And I get like a lot of messages from, I've always gotten a lot of messages from like stoolies who are like, same thing as you, I got divorced for this reason or that reason, or I cheated as well, or I fell out of love and I have a young kid, what do I do? And for the longest time, I'd always kind of be like, here's my experience. I don't know whether it's right or wrong or whatever. And I think for the first time, like even being able to do this house, like we are, you know, she's my ex-wife's going to be here. And I think we're like finally starting to become, hopefully knock on wood, that like modern family of like separated, but happy and, you know, trying to figure it all out. And it'll never be, you know, the best. There'll always be some sadness and all that shit. But for the first time, I think I can be like, almost give advice. I used to tell my story and be like, take it as you will. But I think I can confidently say, like, if you're going through a divorce, like, take the high road and don't, you know, like, don't worry as much about money. And like, if you do this, and the other thing, you know, you'll be in a spot like I am hopefully in a couple of years where I think it did work. I think it, yeah. You know, it's a work in progress, but I think it has gone positively as far as, you know, as best as I could have given the circumstances of mine were pretty extreme. But I think for the first time, being able to tell this guy and a couple of listeners and readers that, like, I think I did it, you know, pretty right as far as I could have. And it starts to feel like, you know, good. It starts to feel like for the first time in many years, like I did something right. Or as, you know, I made the best of it that I really could have, you know?
Right. Well, you know, you've gone through some extreme situations, but if you boil it down to divorce, you know, everybody, like half the people are divorced and, you know, like there's, you have to find a way to get through it, you know?
And everything kind of, there are parallels where it's like, you know, do I think that my job was a huge part of it? Yes. And so does everybody else have that type of job? Like, no, but you probably have something that was like a big linchpin in the whole thing, you know? Yeah. And like, did you have like a public, did you get aired out publicly and that's your main problem? No, but you know, maybe the way she handled it with her family or something is similar. Like everybody is kind of going through the same big picture stuff of like, you didn't pay enough attention to the person or you lost the spark or whatever it may be, that I think it is all kind of, you know, all kind of can relate at the end of the day, despite not being on the internet the way I am or whatever it is. And that's why I think all of it, like whether it's golf or all these things we're talking about, is like, it's just what guys and or anybody, girls in general, I think all need to kind of like think more about. Like when I've said this before about relationships, where it's like when people say relationships are work, it's like, it is, you know, it is. And like, yeah. You like the way you work at work, you like do it every day and you plan and you think and you have meetings and you, you know, strategize and all that shit. It's like, I don't think it has to be that extreme. And sometimes I think like, well, if it is work like that, then why do we do it? You know? But I do think it is like, you have to be proactive and like think about things.
And sort of like the gym too.
It's going to be, it's like, if you do it steadily, it won't be as hard. You know, it's all, if all of a sudden you're like, you know, I've been ignoring you for like 4 years and we've lost the spark. Let's get it back. You know, let's like dive into bed right now. It's like, that's like going to the gym and like busting, you know, it's like, I can't do this. My body's not ready for this. I don't know how to do this anymore.
Yeah. In a weird parallel, I saw this fitness couple. They're both fitness influencers.
Influencers.
What?
You just said it like influenza, like influenza. Kind of like you're European. I might start
influencers.
I'm an influencer. I'm not an influencer. All right.
They're influencers. And they're getting divorced. And if you look back, like not even that far on their timeline, they have this one trick saved our marriage. And it was to have sex 14 days in a row. And they're like, we've never been more connected. And this, you know, it fixed everything and it's amazing. And you need to try it. And then like, 3 months later, they're getting divorced because it's like, yeah, that did not work. That was an interesting 2 weeks. Yeah. And, you know, I think you were more excited about being able to blog it and influence about it. But it was that did not fix it. And that probably will never fix anything. It might be something that you could do annually as like upkeep for your relationship.
What you should do is like you don't have to do it 14 days in a row. But why don't you do it like every 3 days forever? You know, like once every 3 days forever. You can't like cram these things and like live it. And that's, I guess, kind of going back to my point of like, you know, you can have like a bachelor party weekend and it feels good to be back. And, you know, you do that reset. But it's probably better to just be like consistently, I have a social life and I live like an adult while balancing my time with my kids. And, you know, I think just ultimately it boils down to like, you can't like, sounds like corny to be like, you can't like forget about like your own self, but it is like
self-care, bro. I told you it's self-care.
It's not
need a better name for it. We're gonna come up with a better name.
Yeah, okay. It's not self-care. It's like you can't stop living your life for other people, be it your
what about
your
life maintenance. Life maintenance.
It's the same thing as life care. It's just you can't I do really believe you have to find a partner who, and this probably is like, yeah, no fucking kidding, dude. You're just learning this now because obviously I'm the idiot who didn't do this, but like you have to find a partner who like complements your life, who doesn't like become your life or you change for that person. Yeah. But then even like with your kids too, it's like, I think you have to find a way to be like, yeah, you know, you obviously run the show here. You live for your kids, but I can't like totally stop.
It'll be interesting to see if the trend that everybody's getting married later, if that actually helps with the divorce rate, because there is something too being like, you know, you were finding yourself, your career was evolving. Once you are who you're going to be, maybe that's a better point in time to meet people.
I think that the current way that we do things relatively of like get settled down and married like late 20s, early 30s, have kids like early 30s, mid 30s. When you think about it, it's like we always talk about how when you have college, you know, like I have this semester and then I go home and then I do it until I graduate. There's an end goal, right? When you're out of college, it's that first time you get that like kind of wave of panic where you're like, whoa, this never stops. This never ends. And I think it takes like 4 or 5 years to like start to figure that out. But that's also apparently when you're like supposed to start to settle down and have another crazy like change. It's like, I think by the time you're early 30s, mid 30s is when you finally are like, hopefully you're in your career and you're like working towards a bigger picture at work. And you start to like settle into the idea of like, all right, I'm old. I'm not young anymore, you know, but you're throwing another light, like a huge life change in the mix. And then you're probably throwing kids in the mix. And
well,
it's like,
it's interesting because I think it was like in the Indian culture, and this has probably been modernized since, but it was probably in every culture, is the idea that men marry much younger women because it's they, and I've heard a saying from somewhere where it was like the man's wallet can support the family at that point and the woman's body when she's younger can support the family at that point. But that was also a time when women couldn't really work. Like women couldn't.
That also sounds like a time that sounds like something made up by like a guy to be like, I can fuck younger girls because I'm rich and you're, you know what I mean?
That's but I mean, like, biologically, like the problem with what we're talking about is that women can't, like, I was like, you know, 40 should be the new 20, let alone the new 30, but
the clock,
you can't. Yeah. If women have kids, if both men and women are financially secure before they start having kids and they kind of know who they are, you know, that's probably a better design, but it's harder to have kids then.
Yeah. I mean, I was at the point where Barstool was radically changing. And I think a lot of people, if you're lucky enough to be working at a job where it's much more like a career, that age when you've been there for like 5, 6, 7, 10 years is when you're going to like start to like things are going to happen, you know? And that's like probably when you should be focusing on that, or certainly not when it's like, now let me start the thing in life that will take me away from my career and like try to figure all of this out all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like really, when you think about that age of, let's say, let's just call it like 30 and on, it's like you have to probably be dealing with, again, hopefully you're promoted to like, you know, management or vice president or whatever. And that's something where, you know, your boss is going to expect a lot of you while you're also going to get married. And now you have a wife and in-laws or a husband and in-laws who have a lot to expect of you. And then you're like, fuck, the clock is ticking. So we have to have kids right now too. And so all of a sudden you're doing career, marriage, and kids all in like the same era where, I mean, that sounds crazy to me. Yeah. Like I've always loved the way athletes are like the way that Jeter got married, like the day after he retired and had a kid, like 9 months to the day after he retired. I think that was like, you know, brilliant. And obviously that's such a luxury to have, but you know, if you really could map it out, I always think it's funny when, you know, stereotypically girls have their plan of like meet someone by this age, marry by this age, kids by this age. It's smack in the middle of when you should be like, start this job, work my way up to management by this age, hopefully be partner by this age, you know, invest in this business by that. It's all coinciding with your plan for, it's like, you can't do everything in your late 20s and early 30s. And that's how we currently do it right now.
Right. Right. Pack it all. The only thing I'll say is starting having kids, maybe it's because I've had the kids in the last 5 years have been exhausting. I just cannot, the idea of starting at 40.
Right. Agreed. But if you did it right, and I mean, for women and like the ability to have them is a different story.
Right.
But if you did all the shit that we're talking about right, and you did continue to work out, and you did continue to have, yeah, you know, some mental release with your friends and all that, I don't think you would be exhausted when you're 40, hopefully.
Right.
You know, I mean, you wouldn't be losing your hair and fat and miserable. And now all of a sudden you have to run around and roll in the grass with these kids. It makes you want to kill yourself. But if you did do it all right, I think theoretically, you know, you'd be all right with it.
And it's maybe really, you just have enough money to pay someone to do all that stuff.
Even that, I've thought about that. I mean, I'm running into this like this midlife existential crisis where it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do because every girl that I meet is going to want to like have, they're going to want to get married and have their own kids. And I'm like, I have no interest in that, but I also don't want to be the guy who's just like, okay, well then I'm just going to like fuck 22-year-olds for the rest of my life or whatever. Like everybody who I'm going to want to be with is going to want to do these things that I don't want to do anymore. So it's like, well, what the fuck, you know, what do you do now? But because it's all based on this like timeline that everybody follows that I think is totally jacked up. Like this timeline makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense, that's for sure.
Part of it is moving out to the burbs and getting out of the city life, which is a big point of contention right now here in New York City. And it's brought to you by Bespoke. So part of that, as you kind of like transition out into this new life, is making sure that you've got your personal goods and your home goods and your style and all your product services and needs, you know, all your ducks in a row. And that's where Bespoke Posts comes in with their Box of Awesome. It's a collection for guys to just upgrade your whole life. So when you're in this stage of life, like I'm describing, or you're not old, but you're not young and you're a working man, you're trying to be a family man, you want to live like your normal old self, but you have to be this new guy as well. Box of Awesome has you covered for everything, whether you're talking about your cooking tools and your outdoor gear or your barware or your personal style. The Bespoke Post will send you this Box of Awesome every month that has pretty much everything you need. You go to boxofawesome.com. You answer a couple quick questions about you and who you are, and then they'll mail you this box every single month with a ton of different categories of everything you need, like I said, from clothes to you know, you want a new set of mugs and barware, you need new gear to when you go on your monthly hike that you're going to tell your wife you and your buddies are doing, you're going to go on your mental health hike, whatever you're into, Bespoke Post will send you that box to upgrade your whole life in every way. Right now, you can get 20% off that first monthly box when you go to boxofawesome.com and use the promo code MAILTIME. That's Box of Awesome, code MAILTIME for 20% off that box. These are things I'm talking about where it's like, you know, you kind of lose your sense of self and you lose, you know, what's one of the first things that you don't know the like music anymore? You don't know style anymore. You don't know what all this shit that you used to know when you were a kid. Box of Awesome will know all that. So it's like, hey, you know, this accessory is cool. This thing works perfectly for the grill, all that kind of stuff. They'll make sure they keep up with it for you at boxofawesome.com, promo code MAILTIME. The New York City is dead story is taking over New York in a way. Now I'm going back to like my Barstool New York roots where we used to really cover the city. I used to blog like New York City specific stuff. And this would be, you know, a headline that we covered for probably a month straight. It sounds like people want this city to be dead, you know?
Yeah.
It's very similar to like a lot of the sports reporters who wanted coronavirus to cancel their sport because I think they wanted to feel woke or whatever it was. People who want the numbers for coronavirus to be bad. It's like they want to proclaim New York City is dead. I think maybe for two reasons. I think one is like the politicized coronavirus arguments. And I think two is like people don't like New York and probably have a lot of New Yorkers they don't like and they want it to be, you know, dead and gone.
Yeah.
And it's just not. Like, I don't think it's a matter of opinion. It might be. People keep talking about the winter. Like right now you can go outside and there are outdoor restaurants and everything. People, the cliche right now is everyone says it feels like it's a European vibe sitting on the streets and the sidewalks. Maybe in the winter that stops, and then these restaurants are truly screwed because we can't do indoor seating yet, but we're not allowed, you know, nobody wants to sit outside. So maybe then a lot of these places will be in trouble. Maybe even what they're doing right now with restaurants and the makeshift patchwork that people are doing to keep their businesses alive, maybe that's only sustainable for like 6 months or a year. And what's happening economically now will be, you know, you'll be screwed in the future. Maybe. I don't know. It could potentially be the precursor and all the signals that this is a dying city. That's above my head. I don't know. If you're telling me that you can predict this is how cities fall and this is the beginning of it, all good. But what I'm telling you is just right now, if you go out in the city, it's just not quote unquote dead. And maybe this is a semantic game. Maybe, you know, when you see, if you walk a block and you see like five boarded up businesses, and that to you feels dead. Yeah, you're going to see that. Mm-hmm. There are parts, there are neighborhoods that have been completely shut down. There are neighborhoods and boroughs that are more violent right now. But to me, that's not like it's over.
I think it's weird. Maybe it's just a perspective we have as lifelong New Yorkers. People, I don't know who's saying this. I don't think any lifelong New Yorkers are saying it. But
no,
people think that the city. Yeah. People think that the city has always been what it was like last year. It's like it's the city's always evolving. Yeah. Like there were bars on Second Avenue when I graduated that like that was the only spot to go. Second Avenue in the 50s. I ask, you know, the kids that work in the office now, like, oh, where do you guys go out? And it's like all Lower East Side and Chelsea. And they're like, Midtown? You went out in Midtown? I'm like, yeah, man. Like Metro 53 and Bar Room and Sutton Place. Like, and some of those places are still around and they're not, you know, I mean, like the place I met my wife on the Upper East Side literally sunk into the ground. The building was collapsing. They tore the whole thing down. It's not there anymore. If I go to the Upper East Side, there's like more retail and it's not like as boozy. And I'm like, oh, I could call that area dead. Yeah. And I used to work in Chelsea. And it was terrifying. And then like all the clubs popped up and it was like Club Row for a little while. And that was terrifying in a different way. And then, you know, those places got shut down and it rebuilds and it changes. Like the city's always changed. So this is obviously changing a lot of cities. And it may, like you said, have this long-term effect where I think the bigger effect is the fact that people can just work from home now.
Right.
And, you know, coming into the city was a big thing, but I suspect that if we get back to normal life, that will have an impact. I think more people will be able to work from home, but I just don't think that the whole workforce is going to stay at home and the city will you know, bounce back. It may take a little while. Like, one, we have to get past coronavirus, but I don't think it's going to kill the city indefinitely.
I mean, if you looked at New York in like the 70s and 80s, and even into the early 90s, like pre-Giuliani cleanup, that to me would have been like, this city's dead. You know, the Squeegee Men era, where it was mobs and violence and peep shows and homeless.
Yeah.
Like, and then it just got cleaned up and it changed. It's good. It's definitely different. I'm not saying it's perfect, but, you know, to me, even let's say, all right, commercial real estate, let's say, is dead. High rises and skyscrapers, all that, not going to be necessary for work. That's going to be a radical change and certainly will take a hit. But like, so then New York City can become like, maybe theoretically more affordable because people don't like have to live on Wall Street, right, and have to live in these like commerce districts. And then it's like, so you're telling me it could be like maybe more affordable for like young people. And then it's not a center of, it's not Wall Street and it's not, you know, Midtown where it's all corporations. It's more like, you know, going to be hipster vibes and like,
or it can just
like artsy types. Like that to me, again, like I've been saying, it kind of feels like better right now. Like that might be a different version, but I think that sounds like a cooler city where it's like, this is more about, this is not about work. This is about everything outside.
With New York, you have to take into consideration is one of the unique selling points of New York, the differentiator is the subway. So Manhattan is not that big, but you can like shoot back and forth all over the place. And it's built vertically, like more huge skyscrapers than anybody else. So like we're stacking a lot of people in like a smaller space. You can go and you can all get to it easier, but not all cities are built like that. So now the subway is less valuable because less people want to be packed in close where germs can be shared. Right. Well, LA is the, you know, the number two city to New York, in some ways the number one city. It's not even a city. It's a county. It's all spread out. And, you know, now it's like, what if it's less about Manhattan and Brooklyn and Queens and like Long Island all become part of it, and Jersey becomes more part of it. And you think of it as the New York City metro area, and it's all a little bit more spread out. So you want to call the city dead when in reality, like all the same people are still going to be able to work there. It's just going to be like slightly different. I mean, you know, yeah, people want to say like, yeah, places are going out of business. We have like 40 million people unemployed. That's going to happen. Those people eventually are like, eventually we're gonna bounce back. It's gonna take a while. I'm not like super optimistic this is gonna happen right around the corner, but like, well, to say, like, why would the city just die?
Maybe it doesn't even. But what I'm, and so if these people are telling me like, I've seen this before and the writing's on the wall, it's going to die, is dying, it's a different argument than like right now.
Right.
You know, that I just don't understand. And yes, there are people moving out. There are constantly people moving out of New York City. It's a transplanting type of like, there's not a lifelong New Yorkers, but there's always people coming to New York to try to make it here. Right. And there's always people who are like, I'm too old for this place, I'm leaving. So it's always constantly like evolving like that. Right. That I can't believe it's like, oh yeah, the rich people are fleeing to like Montauk. Like, yeah, that's
also
that's,
first that's, of all, they do that in the summer every single year. So I'm like, now the fall is going to be weird because this is normally September is normal when everybody comes back. Maybe less people are going to come back. But to say like normally that there's always an influx of people, I would think that New York City is like always more people coming to it than going out of it. So for the first time in a long, long time, that might not be true in the heart of an epidemic. Yeah. I mean, so maybe let's have a little leeway here.
Maybe that is a trend for a while. Maybe it's going to be, you know, a negative rate for a little bit. But I just like, you know, and so me, you know, again, semantics. You want to tell me the New York City you once knew is gone? Probably, definitely. Right. But you could have said that about like pre-9/11. And you could have said that differently about like when immigrants came and like all, you know, in like the Son of Sam probably changed everything. It was like, we used to like leave our doors open and it was like happy. And now it's like, no, it's fucking dangerous and crazy. Like all of these things, there are just part of me. And I know I did this with coronavirus. Part of me is like, the world will never be the same. But part of me is like, it probably will bounce back in, you know, in a different way. But to think that like, this is the end of everything is kind of crazy. Yeah,
it's just like, where are the 20-something-year-old kids that would have gone to New York City gonna go that's not like another city? Like, do you think, like, I could see that, like, if you were in Jersey and your choices were like Philly or New York, like right now I would pick, I would think that it'd be more affordable and a better time to go to New York. Because if you're going to go to Philly, it's probably the same thing. Like, you're probably risking just as much with the potential of coronavirus in the fall and in the winter. So, like, where are those people going to go? Why would those people suddenly, are they just going to become like suburb people? A 24-year-old?
Well, I could see like maybe the city becomes more LA-ish, where it's like, like Long Island, like a bunch of, like Long Beach is like the spot to be, because it's like, we don't need to cram into Manhattan. We can go to Westchester, Long Island, Jersey, and it just becomes a bigger area. Sure, maybe.
Right. And then it should just affect everything. Like, so what's going to happen now? Like, there'll be no mom and people keep saying the mom and pop shops. And it's like, I mean, there'll still be some people in Manhattan that need to eat. If anything, I think prices will come down.
So that's like, what I'm saying. Like, all right, will there be another $100 million penthouse type of sky rise going up? Probably not. I mean, if you look around, if you look at the New York City skyline, let's say post 9/11, because the towers fell after that, you know, it used to be like the Empire State Building, and then eventually the Freedom Tower mixed in with like the Chrysler Building. And now it's like, there are buildings that are dwarfing the Empire State Building that are just like apartments. You know what I mean? Like, these are buildings I don't even know. It used to be like, you know, the names of the 100-story buildings. Now it's like, there's that one on Central Park. There's that one over there. There's the one up that's going up. And so like the skyline radically changed over the last like 15, 20 years. And so maybe that stops. I don't think anybody's planning to build any more of those right now, but those buildings and these apartments do exist. And if people are fleeing, landlords and owners are going to get their money. And like, so if you're telling me that like rent will become more affordable, and the reason that people will come to the city is more about like social life and art and creativity and architecture and music and all like culture, that sounds pretty good to me. It's pretty cool. And like, and again, currently right now, I went out a couple times. I had like two of like the nicest dates I've ever been on, because we were sitting outside. We sat in the park. There was guys playing live music. We walked along the water. People are out and about. I mean, it's just literally.
There is no better time also in New York than like, I mean, now the weather is so fucked, but like the springtime in Manhattan and like the early fall, whenever you get warm but not destructively humid, like being out in the city is it's like the best experience. I don't know how people could not want to just like walk up and down whatever avenue is hot, whether it's Lower East Side, Upper East Side, Midtown, whatever, wherever the bars are for your generation. We're just walking around, seeing people out. You don't need to see 50,000 people out, you know. You just need to see that people are going in and out of bars, people are going in and out of restaurants. If you didn't see any of that, it would be weird, but that's still happening.
I mean, like, there's no tourists. There's nobody taking pictures. There's no anti-Semitic Elmo in Times Square. There's none of that. Like, it's great.
Yeah. And I hate a little reset.
This city. And I'm like, even I'm enjoying it right now. Again, maybe that's a bad sign for the future. But the people who said it's currently a wrap because they saw some people getting in a U-Haul.
20 people. Around the first of the month, I'm like, I don't know. And then, but then everybody in the comments will be like, oh, no. Like, moving companies are reporting record numbers. I'm like, I'm not saying it's not a record. It could be more people are leaving than coming ever before for a reason.
Let's say that 3 million people left. We're left with like 6 or 7 million people.
Right.
It's like you are so overcrowded. That I think if you cut it in half, we Thanos this shit.
Right. And but that's
the whole idea. What was Thanos doing? It was all about resources and not being overcrowded and elite and being like parasites. That's what we did. The coronavirus is just Thanos this city. And I think it's for the good.
And that would have to be net 3 million out, because it's like, and zero people are going to come. There's going to be zero young people that aren't afraid of this, that are willing to wear a mask, that are going to come in and say, this is my opportunity. Like, I'm going to take it. I've always wanted to go to New York. I'm not that afraid of the virus.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, like,
right now, and they're like, yeah, I don't know. This was our plan and we're going to like see through it. Now, who knows? Maybe one day we get old takes exposed and this is absolutely the beginning of the end. And we didn't see, like, we didn't know that this is the, all the telltale signs of like the fall of an empire. But at the moment, I'm just like, you can't tell me otherwise. It's like, I can see these people on social media or outsiders saying it's dead. And I'm like,
yeah,
well, I'm there every day and I'm not afraid for my life. I'm going out. I'm doing social things and going to restaurants.
But
it's dead. Okay,
like, well, like what I was saying before is like, if you've seen the city evolve and change, you can go to a neighborhood that used to be popping and it's changed. And you could be like, that neighborhood is now dead. And it's like, well, that neighborhood is now something else.
Yeah.
It's not what it used to be. Like, you know, people are like partying in like Alphabet City. That used to be like, you know, the most dangerous part of the city to go to. And also there was like just nothing there. It was like, why would you end up there? Mm-hmm. That was crazy. And now it's like, you know, cool and popping and hot. It's like, you know, things change. This is obviously like just a paradigm shifting thing. A lot of stuff is going to change. But to say that it's just like there's nothing going on there when the people who are there, like we all went out to dinner. We all went drinking. We hung out, like,
it's like I, you know, used to go to Alphabet City and you see like smoke crack with a homeless man. And now it's like, I can go to Alphabet City and smoke crack with a homeless man outside of a mixology bar with a guy who wears suspenders and uses one of those torches on a block of wood to catch the smoke in your new craft cocktail. But there's still going to be homeless people smoking crack. Always has been, always will be. Don't tell me that the city's dead because of that. Last segment of the day here. I just want to talk a little music before we get going. It's brought to you by Honey. Now, Honey is literally the easiest way, quite literally the easiest way in the world to save money, because everything you buy has a promo code. Everything you're doing on the internet has a discount, and you might not know them all. And that's what Honey does for you. It just automatically applies them for you. Trying to like know all the promo codes, or you ever like Google like promo code for XYZ store, August 2020. And they give you them and it's like, this isn't really a promo code. This isn't really a deal. It's like free. You get like free shipping. It's like, that's not a thing. Or they just take you to the sale section of the store. Like that's just a clothing. That's just on sale. It's not a deal, you know? But Honey will scour the internet, find those real promo codes for you, so you don't have to be Googling them. And every time you check out, it will apply that code and you'll get your discount. It's a web browser that you install in just a couple seconds. And then every time after that, that's it. Then you're done. Every time you click purchase, it says like Honey is scanning for your promo code. And sometimes maybe they don't have one. Maybe one doesn't exist. But if it does, it'll say like Honey found a promo code and now it's been applied. And so they've been doing so much work with us here. Specifically, I think the chicks in the office are huge on it, that they are getting down with Barstool Sports merch, specifically the Viva line. Right now, you can get 20% off Viva merch when you go to joinhoney.com/Viva. Get 20% off the Viva merch. Now, right now, we got the quilted tie-dyes. We've got the quilted cotton. I've got new hoodies coming out for the fall. Remind me, I got to text them, pick colors right after this. These are the softest, most comfortable hoodies you'll ever buy. And you know me, I'm wearing the indoors gear right now. That's paramount to me. So we got a whole new line out already and much more to come. And you can get 20% off that Viva gear when you go to joinhoney.com/Viva and get 20% off. The question today, shout out to Reegs. He brought it up. And it's actually one that I've thought about many times just in my head, like in the shower or on my commute, whatever. What is the most universally liked song of all time? Music, I think, is the hardest. Music and food is like the most like individual, personal experience you can have. And it's so funny that it's like some people, this song can change their life and can mean so much to them. And like they party or they cry over it or whatever. And then there are people who are like, that song sucks. Or like, yeah. I've never even heard of that song. You know, the way it can vary is so huge. So to try to find one that fits everybody is pretty much impossible. But what are the ones that do apply to almost everybody? It's a very interesting discussion.
That was a great thread. I mean, a lot of great songs. You could just scroll through it.
The thread, because I was like, I want to try to think of this, like what it was my gut reaction.
Yeah.
Because you got to think, first and foremost, it's got to reach all ages, because, you know.
And that's tough. That's the
hardest one. I think that's the hardest one, because it's like, you know, we just said as you get older, coming of age, like the first thing to go is you don't know the artists. You don't know these TikTok songs. You don't know who Cardi B is. You don't know the latest rappers, whatever.
Yeah, because I have no songs on any list that are like from after 1995. So somebody's gonna be like, you know, what about this, like, you know, Kendrick Lamar song? Could be like, oh no, I don't know anything about that.
That's funny when you say, like, I mean, Kendrick Lamar is like an old rapper now. He's not
right.
New,
right.
You know, like, for me, when people ask me, do you like any new rappers? I say Childish Gambino. He came out in 2011. His songs were 2009, 10, and 11.
Yeah.
So,
like, when Juice WRLD, I'm like, I could not tell you a single song by them. Right. Sorry to all my young listeners, but
yeah, you're washed. And like, and what's funny is they don't think they'll ever be that person. It's like, yes, you will. You will be. Because it's not, it's two things. It's one, you don't keep up as much. It will be interesting to see, like, I used to keep up because you could find new music on Napster and on like Hype Floats and BeatShare. You could find them and download them and have them like before anybody else. Now it's just like, wait till Spotify like puts out a song. And once it's available, then it's available. There's no like personal curating, you know?
Yeah. And it's also decentralized.
You won't do the search. And then also you're just not like out of the bar. You're not out of the club. You're not listening to what the DJ is playing. And so it's like, if I'm just sitting at home in my backyard and I'm going to put on music, I'm just going to put on the songs I know. You know, you're not going to be like, this is the new shit that I heard here or there. Because it's just going to be like, I'm putting on like the Roots again for the 50 millionth time.
But it's also like decentralized too, because it like the radio doesn't really even matter. Like it used to be like, oh, this is the number one song on Hot 97's Hot 4 or whatever. That's not really how people listen to music anymore. So a song just pop off in the right community that you will like never come across. So these new artists can be like incredibly successful, but just not that many people.
Well, that's why the radio is so interesting, because I wonder, you know, way back in the day, it's like the Beatles were huge, and it's like, cause that's what the radio got their hands on and played. And that's what you heard. That was it, you know? And there was no way to be like, well, yeah, the Beatles, that's a cool song, but have you heard, you know, these other guys who are basically doing the same shit, but they're not getting the same amount of love, cause you can't like scour and find your own. And then I'm sure that's where people, you know, A&Rs and label execs and shit were like, paying like, you got to play these many spins for me, because that's the way, you know. I always say, if my real girlfriend from Pop Punk was played by Blink-182, it would be the biggest punk song, like, you know, of the year, because there's just something inherent about it being like, well, it's played by Blink-182, and I like it's proof of
built in,
you know. And it's like, it's the same exact song, and Roan is like better than them, but
that song's a banger.
So good. But you're not going to give the same love, because it's not Travis Barker on the drums. It's Frankie Borelli. But who cares? That shouldn't matter. But that kind of stuff does. So that's where you got to find like the right artists that, you know.
The video is so good when they start looking around. They start realizing it. It's kind of like, you know, it's like joke rap. It's like Lil Dicky. You know, it's like, it's a good song, but it's also funny.
Punk has always kind of been like that. You know, like Blink makes funny songs, making fun of themselves, and like, you know, what's my age again? And like things like that, where it is like, we're just clowning on ourselves basically. But you know, those are things that like the old people aren't going to get. So like, boom, that's off the list. It's like, so you have to find something that applies to all ages, all races, got to work for guys and girls. You know, you got to be able to play it at like any setting, any time. It's very hard to put together. So what were some, like, what did, where did your mind go like first?
Well, I had heard what, you know, your choice eventually for One Minute Man that we put out. So that, I thought it was a really good choice.